Michael H. Gibson and Mark A. Bowden. Mr. Badger?
Blame your time.
Since when does telling time not become your fault? Okay.
Whatever.
No problem.
Michael H. Gibson and Mark A. Bowden have applied for the same area, approximately 6 acres of orchard planting ground in Powell's Bay, near Ballast Narrows on the seaside of Accomack County. Mr. Gibson's application is protested by Mr. Bowden, and what I'd like to do is have the evaluation and presentation done at the same time.
Be fine.
Thank you. This is a quad sheet showing the location of the project. Wishers Point is here, which is about 3/4 mile southwest. Town of Shinkatig is about 6 miles away here. And as you remember from last month, Wallops Island, NASA is here. That's interesting colors. Kathy, can you dim the lights, please? Thank you. Still not much better, is it? Okay. This is a quad sheet showing the location of our orchard ground leases and public ground overlaid over top of it. The area in here, and you can see a little change in the green color, is where the both applications are. Mr. Gibson has 7 leases for approximately 83.83 acres, and one of those leases is in Powell's Bay over here, right here, 16220. And Mr. Bowden has 2 leases in Powell's Bay adjacent to the area that has been applied for, totaling 10 acres, which is right here and right here. That's 1788 or 6. That's a little bit better. 1788. Okay, this is the area in question. We received an application from Mr. Gibson on December 7th, 2009 for 6 acres in this general area here. And on May 5th, 2010, Mr. Bowden submitted an application for the same area as Mr. Gibson. We did receive a letter from Mr. Bowden dated April 28th of 2010 protesting Mr. Gibson's orchard ground application. In the letter, Mr. Bowden stated that he thought he had already leased the area. This assumption is apparently based on an old 1984 VMRC map that he received from the previous leaseholder, Mr. Churix, and this is the map itself. The date on the map was July 1977 and revised August 30th, 1984.
That's 77 or 97?
It should be 97. Oh, I'm sorry, 80. Should have been 77. I'm sorry. That's me. Thank you. Keep me straight. Although Mr. Bowden's lease boundaries are correct, the shoreline coverage from the old maps are not as accurate as the ones we use today. The map appears to show that his lease plat file is 0788, closer to Ballast Narrows, and would appear to include the area of Mr. Gibson's application. Oops. Mr. Bowden also states that in the last 4 to 5 years, he has maintained the rocks by raking, culling, and separating the oysters. He also claims to have planted approximately 200 bushels of oysters and clam shells in the application area. Our aerial photography shows the evidence of the area has been actively worked. This is a 2009 aerial. Just for what it's worth, I just want to put my arrow right there. You can see the outline here. Keep an eye on this line right here. I'll leave that. There's Mr. Bowden's lease, 7088. And again, the area that he thought he was leasing continued all the way up here. Aerial looking north, town of Shinkatig is here. The application area is right in this area. Again, as I showed you on the other, this is where Mr. Biden's lease actually ends, even though he thought he owned and was leasing this area up here.
So which area is in question?
This area right here.
Okay.
This
Thank
is
you.
Where Mr. Biden's actual lease ends.
Okay.
By survey. Again, this area in here that's applied for. And that goes almost down the lease line. And looking towards the east, Wallops Island is over here, NASA. And again, the area. This is Mr. Biden's original plat and only plat. This is what all of our surveys are based off of, and the coordinate values were based off of this map. And it was done by my father back in 1949. And as you can see, the shoreline at that point on this map shows it going up quite a ways from Ballast Narrows. This is our newest map. And this is the area in question right here. And you can see there's public ground here. There's public clamming ground. There's public ground or baler, and more public clamming ground, which looks entirely different than the 1984 map. These are the two side by side. As you can see, it's a totally different shoreline look in here versus coming through here. There's a big gap there. And this is our survey of the area itself. It's 4.82 acres, and we did this in February of this year. So that's the area in question that both have applied for. Okay, just leave this up.
Hank, can you go back to the aerial that that showed the actual work on the for me, please?
This right here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm just, maybe it's just the picture. I guess I'm a little curious as to why there's such a defined line. Yeah.
Me too. It seems like someone between 1949 and today knew where the line was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Now, it may not have been passed along, but obviously somebody knew where the line was at some point. I'll just leave that up there. Kathy. So our summary and recommendation, after evaluating the 1984 VMRC map depicting Mr. Biden's lease and comparing it to our most recent map of the area, it is understandable how Mr. Biden might have believed his lease included at least a portion of the area currently being applied for. Prior to the mid-70s to late 70s, our base maps did not have accurate shoreline information. Accordingly, the coordinated survey lease corners are the controlling factor in relocating a lease, not a line on a map that depicted the shoreline. Staff does have sympathy towards Mr. Biden's situation since he has already expended resources and time towards improving the ground in question. However, we do believe the following points should be considered. One, Mr. Biden's lease, plat file 7088, which is this one right here, has been assigned to him since 2007. However, Mr. Biden did not ask for a new map of the area or for the ground to be resurveyed. Instead, he relied on an outdated 1984 VMRC map of the area.
What date was that, 1994 or
84?
84. Okay.
That was the last revision of that 1970-something map that Mr. Bagden gave us. Two, 28.2605 states that the applications should be considered in the same order in which they are received. Mr. Gibson's application should be considered first. If approved, then Mr. Bagden's application will be inactivated. If Mr. Gibson's application is denied, then Mr. Bagden's application would be considered. And number three, 28.2-616, possession gives no preference as to assignments. States that any person in possession of any general oyster planting ground which has not been assigned according to law shall have no preference as to having it assigned to him. The ground shall be open to the first applicant. Based on the above 3 points, should the commission determine that it is appropriate to lease the ground in question, we reluctantly recommend that Mr. Gibson's oyster ground application, VMRC 10-003, 4.82 acres by survey, be approved. Since the inaccuracies of our old shoreline may have contributed to Mr. Bagden's issues, staff believes it is maybe appropriate to allow Mr. Bagden a reasonable time to remove the oysters and shells he mistakenly placed and cultivated in the area prior to the commission's assigning the ground to Mr. Gibson. This recommendation is loosely based on 28.2-559 of the Code of Virginia, removal of oyster planting or planted by mistake, which states, and this is rough because it basically is dealing with the one of our surveys and surveying up a piece of lease ground in Baylor. But anyway, it basically states any resurvey of oyster planting ground or survey reestablishing the lines of the Baylor survey may, under the direction of the commission, it appears that any holder may, any holder by mistake of any employee of the commission has had assigned to him or included in the plat of his assignment any portion of the public oyster beds, rocks, or shoals, the holder shall file a petition with the commission for permission to remove such oysters or shells from such ground. The commission may allow the holder of a reasonable time, not to exceed 3 years, within which to remove their shells and oysters. So basically what we're doing is we're recommending that the ground be assigned to Mr. Gibson as the first applicant, but giving Mr. Bagden ample time to remove his shell and oysters.
Questions of Hank? Mr. Bowden.
Hank, is it your contention that Ballast Niners has changed, or just the fact that it was the map was worthless, basically?
The shoreline was bad.
Mm-hmm. The shoreline.
We contracted with VDOT back in mid-'70s to do the digital shoreline for all of the state of Virginia, or the Tidewater area. And it was our first universal shoreline, and it had some problems. We still have problems with some of our shorelines as they exist today. And it's a constant change because you don't know if they're taking the edge of the marsh or if they're seeing some oyster rocks that are offshore and they're using that as the shoreline. So it's constantly changing.
I mean, you're an engineer, so you're going to look at things completely different than I would. But as a layman, numerous times you and a lot of the environmental engineers has called our attentions to a point on your presentation that we could use as a reference, whether it be a large tree, an outcropping of stones. I've heard the whole gamut over the 8 years' time. Ballast Niners has not changed in my lifetime, and I've been by it thousands of times.
If anything, it's probably running.
It's got a lot shorter. I mean, a lot shallower. There's no water there because it used to be out where that grind is in front of it. It was 15, 20 foot of water. I fished in it years ago. Now it's about 15 and 20 foot of mud and 2 inches of water.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of that hasn't shallowed up because of the dredging that may have just been sidecast going into Wishers Point years ago.
I don't know that, but they haven't dredged that in forever. But, I mean, you can certainly see the confusion if I got that map, and I've had ground surveyed, and I'll give you a good example. This was, you might have worked for the commission then, but you weren't involved with the survey. Terry Showalter surveyed three pieces of ground for me that I bought from Shree's Oyster Company. The first one was where it was supposed to be. One of the corner lines wasn't quite right, and it was just a piece of a rock out. But where I was paying for the surveying, Terry went ahead and surveyed the whole thing, and I had to make an application for this little wedge to straighten it out. One of the other pieces, he directed me to the back of the bag because I'll give you the whole story in a very short version. When we were in there, a great big shark in the bag 9 foot long, and he had a new helper with him, rod holder, whatever you want to call it, and Jerry wanted that shark in the worst way, so he was trying to catch it with the grappling and ran into the boat. But then that boy would not get out of the boat, so I had to be the chain man, and I was carrying the stuff. So he got me to go to the back piece, and I said, I no longer want this piece. So he took me to the third piece, and he said, you know, keep going, and I ran the boat to the marsh. I said, well, it can't be here. This marsh has been here forever. Dog's head, I mean, it's a piece of marsh, shelly bait. It's been there my whole lifetime. And I get like 200 yards up in the marsh, and he says, hold it, that's your outside corner. So somewhere along the line, that was surveyed that far off, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know how you survey on the water. I can understand that with GPS, but evidently we still have problems with that because we had to straighten some lines up in the crab sanctuary of late. If I was given that map and it showed that I owned all the way to Dallas Narrows, and knowing that that has not changed since 1949.
Oh, I don't think, if anything, I think the marsh is widened in that area.
You know, I feel like we're at the very minimum partly responsible for the confusion.
This is his survey, and everything that we do is based off of control stations on shore. You see these little things here. All three of those were found. So I know that the location, the actual location where we would have put the stakes on this, is correct. Coordinates are correct on that. Can't go any farther than that.
I can understand exactly what you're saying, and I can understand the complete confusion by going by the map that VMRC supplied. It's not recent. I would not know, as a commissioner, knowing that the shoreline had not changed, I would not know that I had to go get a new map. Now, if I was somewhere dynamic, like along the Barrier Islands, oh, yes, I know that changes. In Kegatank Bay, for example, almost all the private grain is under the beach right in the ocean after the beach has migrated across it. But in a stable environment like that, I'm afraid I would have had to go up. Which is terrible to say, I would have had to trust the government and went with their map. And that would put me in a minority of the people in the country because it's 80-some people don't trust, 80-some percent of the people don't trust the government and the other 18% work for them. But,
well, just where do you fall on this board, Mr. Bowden?
I don't work for them because you don't pay me.
I don't think
but if you
want to
start paying me, I'll take it. I mean, you know, I can see the confusion there, but we need to hear everything from everybody. But but you will admit that definitely would be confusing to anybody besides you that actually knew the coordinates.
Yeah, if you just went from this picture alone.
And the ground was staked up when you received the ground, and it has been staked up for a very long period of time. And if it looks like that, I would consider, you know, if I bought a piece of ground that was not staked up and had not been staked up for decades, but this has, 60 years. So I can't say whether it's a mapping error or a surveying error because I knew of a piece of ground very close to that was leased out for years. There was baler ground that you had to take away from people. Somebody surveyed that baler ground.
There you go. You see this little piece right there?
Well, there was another big piece when you go across Boggs's Bay, not very far from that, was a big piece of baler ground that adjoins Tommy Mason's ground.
Question.
Yeah, Mr. Tankard, are you good?
Go ahead.
You know, 28.2-607, which you referenced in the summary recommendation, it mentions that the required leaseholder to accurately mark the boundary of his lease while it's being worked. Is that, in fact, the case here?
I know it's marked.
It is marked? And in the 4 acres?
It's probably not accurately. map.
That's not fair. Take his grind.
If it was accurately marked, these corners. It was accurately marked that these corners would have been set. And it's my understanding that it's the corners come on out into this area out here.
Okay.
So it really wasn't accurately.
Okay.
No question.
Mr. Bowden.
Well, Hank, would you say this, that it's probably accurately marked by the map that he had at the time?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions?
I have a question.
Mr. Plumley?
I had a question. You had mentioned that I guess that dredge line or whatever that is indicated that somebody knew where the line was. And I was curious to know, I didn't quite understand when you said that, what you meant by that.
Well, I guess, and this is something that just popped up when we were looking at this over. This is not something that, when we started this process, even noticed this. Actually, Chip Nyker and Paul Rogers both noticed it, because this was a 2006-07 survey. And they said, that's interesting that this configuration right here
conforms to the overlay.
Conforms exactly, right on the line. So that just tells me somebody must have known 49, 50s or whatever, that anywhere the line was then.
Explain to the commission members what the contrasting colors mean. Some may not understand what is that?
Paul, are they little shell? They're shell hulls on this.
Mm-hmm. On the surface?
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you'll pick up stuff with maps.
Yeah, and you can see there's some over here, too, now.
Mm-hmm.
That that's why we're saying, Mr. Biden, it's no question that he has used this area, thinking it was his.
So, the Mr. Bowden held this permit to work, not a permit,
lease.
A license,
a lease.
So he's leasing from the state. He gains no possession rights, because he is leasing from the state. He's given the duty to mark, and he did use the appropriate map at the time. Is that he was provided?
If this was 1984, that would be correct. He didn't take possession of the lease till 2007.
Okay, so there was no previous, prior to 07, there was no previous use of these grounds by this applicant?
Not by the...
Under a lease?
Yes. The 1949 survey, which is basically what you see here, is in effect. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
So in 07, this was in effect. There had been no resurvey by the commission or by an applicant.
Mr. Biden had that 1984 map that it was given to him by the previous leaseholder, Mr. Cherix, who showed him, and it appeared that it went up closer by the shoreline. It appeared that it went up in this area.
Mm-hmm. Does the commission retain the discretion, even though there's sort of a first-in-time, first-in-right statute here, does the commission retain the discretion over the leasing, ultimate authority, based on its own discretion and judgment?
Yes. We have to...
Right. He's a successor in right under that lease.
It's probably been transferred 3 or 4 or 5 times since 49. I'm sorry.
But the last question about the commission's authority,
yes,
over its own lease. I mean, this is a lease controlled by the commission to select the applicant. Under our published rules, we're saying first in time, first in right. But we do retain the discretion to ultimately decide.
Absolutely. 28.2-605 states that the application shall be considered in the same order in which they are received. That's all it says.
And Mr. Gibson's application was deemed complete?
Yes.
It wasn't an error with his application? Okay.
Further questions?
Both applicants are here.
Okay.
And Mike? And you would have to address Mr. Gibson's application when it gets to that point first.
I intend to hear from him first because he was the first applicant. I think that would be appropriate. And I presume Mr. Gibson wishes to be heard. Mr. Gibson? Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record,
Michael
please.
Michael H. Gibson.
Okay. What do you want to tell us about it?
I've been working this property since 2005. It was open to the public ground during the season. And I was also working just north of that, the public clamming ground, which is also planted state shells. And I've never seen anybody down there. I've harvested hundreds of bushels from that property over the last 6 years. No stakes, nobody. And in 2009, I decided to lease it. And that's what I did. And I've also reported thousands of bushels caught over the years, thousands and thousands. I take out thousands of bushels of shells that I plant. I employ two people part-time.
Thousands of bushels?
Yes, thousands of bushels I take out. And I catch, I've caught thousands of bushels. Shells, I plant shells to grow more oysters. I take out thousands of bushels every year. Grow oysters every single year.
Do we have any mandatory reporting records that deal with? How difficult would it would be to basically go to that one specific ground and pull up how many thousands of bushels?
Not hard at all. It can be done.
I just want to be certain of the testimony that's here because. Although this seems like something that's mine or 6 acres to me and to these two folks, it's very important.
I've taken out thousands of bushels to other properties. I've never put a shell on that property. But I've taken out thousands of bushels to other properties. I've caught on my other oyster properties and on the public, I've caught, you know, oysters and reported numerous, numerous oysters.
Okay. Anything else that you want to tell us about the property here?
In my perspective, and looking at it, it's clearly been open for 20 years or better, and it just seems obvious to me that it's open versus the gap on the maps. I mean, just the gap. And they put into effect already the regulations that state that your survey and markers are the determining factor for the purpose of the marshes are constantly changing. I can show you hundreds of places on the maps that there's marsh that exists and there's marsh that doesn't exist, that they have it on the map or they don't have it on the map or it's different. That's why they go off of the corners, the survey markers, just for that purpose because everything out there is always changing.
All right, so tell me specifically what you've done with this, I understand. With that one specific piece of ground.
This piece of property I've been working since 2005 as a public oyster ground. I've been working as is public.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been catching oysters off there and reporting them since 2005.
Okay. Questions from the commission? Mr. Schick.
Yeah, you had stated that you didn't see any stakes marking this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you haven't seen anybody working it?
Never, besides me.
Besides you. And you have pulled up oysters there since 2005?
Yes.
From this ground, and it is recorded?
Yes.
Mr. Holland.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question to think of Hank.
Hank.
My understanding was that Mr. Churix had this ground leased, and then Mr. Bowden got the lease from Mr. Churix.
That's correct.
Transferred the lease. Well, how are you calling it private grounds?
No, we're talking two apples and oranges.
Okay.
Mr. Churix had this lease and this one down here.
Okay.
And he transferred these two to Mr. Bowden in 07.
Okay.
Not to Mr. Gibson.
I understand that.
It stayed vacant the entire time, except that Mr. Bowden thought he was leasing it. He thought this whole lease came all the way over.
Okay.
And if I may follow.
Mr. Schick.
Didn't I hear you say that the corner was marked from, based on the old map that that Mr. Bowden had?
It's my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mr. Bowden.
Just a minute. Mr. Rogers?
Yes, sir.
You come forward. Were you here first thing this morning? You were? You've been sworn. Come to the podium, please. Get the best evidence available.
Both knees are going up on replacement in the fall.
What's the question? Hank, you brought him up. What did you need?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to ask him something. The area that's been staked is all the way over to here. Is that correct?
There was a PVC pipe that was out near this corner here, up where your cursor is now. Yes, sir. There was a piece of white PVC, an old piece of PVC.
How long ago has it been since it was there?
It's got oyster growth on it, shell growth on it, so it's been there for four times.
Is it there today? The last time you saw it?
It was there the last time I was there, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. It's not the corner, but it is close to the corner.
And is that the only corner that you saw?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You did no other stakes or anything, except what we staked when we did the actual survey. Mm-hmm.
Does that answer Commission Member's question?
Yes, it does.
Thank you, Paul. Further questions, Mr. Plumlee?
You had decided in 2009 to make the application. What made you want to at that time?
I had purchased 50 acres just west of that property, and since I was expanding my business south, I figured any area in that, any of those properties that I've been working at that time, I would lease.
So you're talking about Uplands? You'd purchased 50 acres?
Or it's actually 8 it's this property.
I'm sorry, it's oyster ground.
It's all this big yellow here that continues on.
Okay, so that's a lease of that? Okay.
Yeah, that's one of my other leases.
I see.
This lease. This is 40 some acres that he had transferred to him.
Further questions? Mr. Tanker?
Could it be that the PVC pipe that Mr. Rogers indicated exists is actually something to mark a channel at all?
Very well could be. It seemed to be arbitrary when I got involved. Is that
anything else, Mr. Gibson?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bowden? Mr. Bowden, would you raise your right hand for me? Solemn swear a testimony that you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
You state your name for the record, please.
Mark Allen Dayton.
Okay. Tell us about your lease application in the ground. What's going on?
Actually, I purchased grain from one of my friends, Calvert Church. He is handicapped. I helped take care of him and take him out to, actually, it was the clubhouse across from it. Go during summertime weekends. Lately, his health has failed and he hasn't been a great. I did purchase this piece from him. He did give me this map, which he received from Mr. Lou Wright, and I think you got a copy of it in your pamphlet that shows it coming off. Yeah, Alice Nair, where it comes off the point straight on from that map.
Sure. This was a copy of the scanned portion.
I have a letter from Mr. Cherries. Right, so.
Thank you. We'll have to keep this at least for 30 days and get it back.
I did help Mr. Church maintain the grain to a certain extent while he did own it. When it came to the time that he wouldn't sell it, I bought it from him. I bought it from him as this plat that we went to buy with now. One of the big reasons I bought it was my dad's working with water all his life, and he kind of wanted a place to go, and we set it up, and we've been there weren't a whole lot of stuff on the ground. We put shells on it, and what little bit was on the rocks was kind of stubbly and all grown together, and we kind of called them apart and put them off in deep water, and so they've been growing. Then putting shells out.
On this specific piece of ground?
Yes.
Sir.
see some of the grays has come out.
Okay, I think this will do.
Okay, this is one of the gray PVC pipes that have stuck up. You know, this is on that far corner. This is the red flag that Paul, Mr. Rogers, stuck up too far in the grain. So that's one of the pipes that's there for the... There was two right here. The ice took them down this winter.
Okay.
Been working grain. Mr. Rogers been there a couple times surveying. I mean, he probably verified that the shells are there. I kind of keep a close eye on the grain. I think Mr. Rogers can test that too, because I kind of spot him out every time he's there. It's where I can drive down a state road and watch it very carefully with binoculars. My brother-in-law works on the water. He works in that area. He keeps an eye on it for me, and haven't seen nobody else working it.
How much product do you think you've got down there? How many bushels do you think you've got on this property?
It would be hard to estimate. Probably, I don't know, with the growth that I got on the shelves now, I mean, you're probably talking, you know, a couple thousand bushel or more. I mean, it's some of the, I took some pictures here, but they didn't turn out because tar won't run up, but I got stakes in the grain where I started New Archer Rocks. You know, I go out with roughly 20 bushel, 24 bushel at a time in bushel baskets in my skiff, and I put stakes out, and I dumped the archers around the stakes. Some of them sow in the mud, and I have to keep reapplying them. But they are catching, and I have been building rocks. Certainly would have done all this if I didn't think I owned it. I mean, this is how it was stuck up. I didn't know that when you got a transfer land that you had to get a new map to verify. I thought, you know, this was a BMRC map, and I thought that was an accurate map to go on.
Questions of Mr. Bowden?
Mr. Bowden, had you seen Mr. Gibson out working this area as well?
I have not. I ain't out there every day, but I keep eye on it pretty good.
Good question, Mr. Bowden.
We're both Bowdens. I just want to clarify the fact that we are no relation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Mr. Tanker?
So, Mr. Bowden, you're saying that the white PVC pole that Mr. Rogers indicated was something you'd stuck up as
no,
a...
No, the white pole has always been there.
Just always been there.
Yeah. Also, I do have... there is another white pole up on the marsh that's to the point of that.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Please do. Go ahead.
So, Mr. Brown, what you're saying, though, is you had stuck up the 4.3 acres, I believe it is, that is now in question. You had that stuck up.
I did stick it, but all it was stuck up when I bought it.
But you hadn't kept it stuck up.
The only ones I replaced was in the outer corner. That two of them stayed there. I replaced two of them in that I stuck up, but they were directly in line. I don't know if I got directly in the perfect spot, but they're within the general area. But the corner post, the outer post are pretty well there. They always have been aligned. If you look in one of the pictures there, it's a old pile and stuck off a little bit that was a mooring post for the barges. And the corner's always been aligned with that, and then up to the marsh.
You shouldn't.
Further questions?
One question, Mr. Commissioner. How many acres would this impact your entire lease?
Well, I think the actual said it was six. Now they say it's like 4 point some acres. Unfortunately, that's one of the highest part of my grain, and that's where I've done 99% of my work.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mr. Schick,
you said that there was one one marker in the marsh, and it, that you're talking about the guess the eastern side.
Right, it's white PVC post.
So what you're saying from
the point of Ballast Nares actually would be
Could you put the map up of the scanned-in map of his? Oh, that's good there. So, okay. Where? Yeah, with yeah. Where are the?
Actually, the pole is right here.
Right.
Probably 4 foot back. Comes right up, launch and straight across. This one here is not. This rock is not on it.
Right.
Comes right across here, and here is the gray plate with white post behind it, and Mr. Rogers' flag is behind that.
Okay.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Bowden.
I have a question for Mr. Badger. We've talked. I don't know why I'm still confused by the fact that this map was inaccurate that was relied upon by the previous leaseholder. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that maybe again? Maybe I'll get it this time.
In the mid 70s, I started in the early 70s when Mac Rogers was chief engineer. Our mapping system wasn't on a grid or anything. It was just you go to Powell's Bay, and there was a map of Powell's Bay. And the baselines were A, B, and they weren't really tied in together. They were just kind of out there, and they did the best they could. Mr. Mac Rogers came in and decided that the whole state should go on a grid system. So we did that, and then we started going to coordinate systems, which started locating all these A, B baselines, and that way we could coordinate on state plane all the individual corners of the leases. And when we started doing that, we also needed to upgrade the shoreline, but we couldn't go out and individually locate all of the shoreline throughout Tidewater in order to do that. So we hired VDOT, who had to digitize the shoreline.
What year was that?
Mid-70s.
That was in the mid-70s?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that shoreline, what you see on Mr. Biden's map was the first digitized shoreline that we had received. And we had problems with it. This is not the only area that we have problems with it. And we still have problems today with certain areas because we're taking a digital shoreline that's not necessarily dealing with one little individual area. It's dealing with a larger tidewater area. So there's always going to be checks and balances. We had not done any surveys in this area. You can see this was a 1949 survey. We had done some over in here, but that was it.
So the 70s survey, the digitized version, shoreline, that was the last survey that the PMRC had commissioned or had performed?
That was the first shoreline that we had.
That was the first.
And then, from there, this is our newest and greatest section of one of our base maps. And here you can see also differences. The other one that Mr. Biden had the baler on it, which were these two pieces, but did not have the public grind on it at the time. This was additional that got on our maps after that.
Anyone else? Any other questions? I'm sorry, Mr. Schick.
So the procedure when a lease gets transferred, there's no requirement for him to get a new survey, and there's no requirement, and the procedure isn't to give him the latest and greatest map with the application for the transfer. Okay. So Mr. Bowden didn't do any procedural error in the process. Okay.
If he'd asked us for a map, we would have given him the plat of 1949, because that's the actual plat of this survey.
Which would have been different than what he had.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So he had a 1984.
Mr. Plumlee.
I'm sorry,
that's
sir.
That's okay. Not a problem.
I apologize.
I just want to keep the record
straight. I couldn't see it through a line of the
that's okay.
bodies. But The 1984 survey or document that base was relied
map.
Upon.
That's our base map.
That's the base map that we generated back in 84.
Right. That would have shown his lease along with others in the area.
And when did the new information change that? I mean, how?
I see what you're saying.
I mean, if he relied upon the most up-to-date, publicly made available map, when did we reissue something saying here are the new ground rules?
Well, I think we're constantly with better shoreline that we get. I guess we've done it at least two, if not three times since then.
Two or three times since that point.
Yeah.
And did we send out notices to leaseholders?
No, because it's just a shoreline. You got to realize that it comes back. His plat is that 1949 survey. Our base maps like this will just show our newest and greatest shoreline and our newest mountain. Matter of fact, in the next generation, we may show piers on them. It's hard to tell what the next generation will show. And they get better.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to be heard on this lease matter? If not, the matter's before the commission. Let me tell you where I see it. I do have one. Mr. Gibson, between the time, can you come here? Just one question. Between receiving your application on December 7, 2009 for that 6 acres and April 28, 2010, did you have any work at all at Putney Shell, anything at all, any activity at all on that piece of ground?
That piece of ground besides working it? No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
Now I know.
Let me tell you how I see it, and correct me if I'm wrong. Thanks. I see that staff received Mr. Gibson's application on December 7, 2009 for 6 acres. Received another letter from Mr. Bowden on April 28, 2010. After Mr. Bowden had been working this piece of ground from the time he thought he had purchased the property on a map that he thought was accurate based on an old VMRC map. You go back to the law. The law that deals with planting oysters by mistake. As I look at it from a law enforcement perspective, planting oysters by mistake is when you go on someone's ground that's established and place those oysters over, and then you have to get them on and it off. In this situation, I don't know that the ground was ever established totally so that law applies. Does that make sense?
I understand where you're going.
Matters before the commission. Mr. Tankard?
Well, I can certainly sympathize with both parties. So it seems like this must be a productive area. But at the same token, I believe that Mr. Bowden should hang on to this property. He is leasing it from the state. He took over a lease that indicated that this was his ground to lease. He has staked it up, as far as I can tell, in a fashion that would show that he was leasing this ground, and I don't think we should change that.
Second to the motion.
I'll second.
I think you're going to have to
take them one at a time.
One at a time. Excuse me.
You have to address his first, and then if his is not approved.
What's the pleasure on Mr. Gibson's lease?
Deny.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard to deny. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plumley. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item, Mark A. Bowden, 2010-040S.
Move to accept Mr. Bowden's application for lease of this 6 acres.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plumley. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Difficult situation.
Thank you.